100 years ago, a Viennese doctor paid a visit to the city of Worcester in Massachusetts to give a series of lectures. This man had big ideas about the unconscious, the id, and the ego. Yes, we're talking about Sigmund Freud. But back in 1909, when he made his first and only visit to the U.S., his name hadn't yet become an adjective. In fact, back then, Freud was desperate for some recognition. He got it at Clark University in Worcester. At the time, the school was renowned for its psychology program. Mott Lynn is the chief archivist for Clark University.
Today, Freud is such a big name, but back then, he wasn't. This was sort of his coming out party. We had some credibility that he was hoping to get. And yet in Europe, it may have been because of his new ideas, it may have been in part because he was Jewish, but he wasn't able to get into most areas of academia, you know. And so this was a way to try and, okay, we'll go to Clark, get better well known in the U.S., and hopefully that will reverberate into Europe.
Let's go back a little bit. How old would he have been, and what stage of his career was he at? And also paint a picture of the journey, where this is 1909.
Mm-hmm. He was a little over 50 years old. Now, he came with a couple of other psychoanalysts, most famously Carl Jung. And Jung was much younger. He was 34. Both of these men ended up getting honorary degrees from Clark University. Freud's is noteworthy because it's the only honorary degree he ever received. And so they came over, took a couple of weeks to sail across the ocean to New York City, then sailed to southeastern Massachusetts, took a train to Boston, took a train to Worcester, and they were there for about a week.
So Freud comes to Clark. He gives a series of 5 lectures on the origin and development of psychoanalysis. Describe the impact both on the people who heard these lectures, but also on Freud.
Well, it really kick-started his career. Before then, not a lot of people knew of him and took his work that seriously, but there was very little of that. His famous book, The Interpretation of Dreams, came out in 1909, and even 6 years later, only a few hundred copies had been sold worldwide. So that kind of demonstrates how little cachet his ideas had. And this really did kickstart his career, was taken more seriously in the U.S., and as he had hoped, it translated to being taken more seriously across the Atlantic.
I understand Freud and Jung delivered their lectures in German. Was there translation?
There was not translation there. Back then, all your best universities had been in Europe, mostly in Germany. And so if you wanted to be a scholar, you had to learn German. And so all these professors of psychology and all the graduate students of psychology would have known German and, to a greater or lesser extent, would have been able to understand what Freud was saying.
Tell me more about his trip. What happened to him? What did he see? What were his impressions?
Well, after Worcester, they took some time off. They took a train trip out to see Niagara Falls and then another train trip into the Adirondacks. One of the highlights of the trip, according to Freud, was he seeing a porcupine. And so, for whatever reason, he thought that this was a wonderful thing.
Lovely. Archivist Mott Lynn of Clark University, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much.